Hi friends, it's Fred Greenhalgh, producer here at Realm. The next episode of the dark fiction series Ominous Thrill is ready for your ears. It's called Secret in Silver Falls, and it's a Cold War era creature feature. Here's a short preview.
Ned, it's a government facility, so even if I had...
Well, my government doesn't keep secrets from citizens, just enemies.
Okay, but that's not really how it works.
Are you saying we're the enemy?
I'm not saying that. It's just...
Gotcha, you little shit.
Ned.
How about we go inside, you and me? You can tell me what's happening. And then I can tell all these fine folks there ain't nothing to worry about.
I don't have answers to share with you.
I insist.
Ominous Thrill is out now, everywhere you listen.
Thanks for checking out I Love Lucifer, the podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please review, subscribe, and share with other podcast enthusiasts. And now, I Love Lucifer.
The fantasy of their day job turns into a living nightmare when the lines of reality are blurred as two B-movie starlets battle movie monsters by day. And real monsters by night. Now, if they could only get along with each other.
You bitch!
When the cameras stop rolling, the real terror begins.
I love Lucifer.
Created by Susie Singer-Carter and Don Preece. Episode 9, Garden Variety Green-Eyed Monster. Directed by Susie Singer-Carter.
Come here, demon.
What are you doing?
Come here, demon. Come on.
You're crazy.
Let's get it over with. Kiss me, demon. Come on, kiss me.
Welcome back. I do apologize for breaking in at a most piquant moment, but I did want to be sure I have your full attention whilst I remind you just how the partially clothed, darling demon-hunting duo arrived in the shower and just why Tanya has Holly pinned against the wet-tiled wall with her face hovering inches from Holly's, demanding she give my poor unhinged sausage a kiss. You see, this is the climactic peak of a most horrific row that erupted after a series of unfortunate events. First, the discovery that their demon hunting days were, in fact, not over, followed by Tanya's near-death experience with a fluffy kitty / goat-headed monster, punctuated by a misunderstood rendezvous between Holly and Ian. Events that have caused my daughter to go absolutely spare. But then we Thompsons do gravitate towards the drama, don't we? At this very moment, Tanya moves in to kiss Holly.
Stop it! I'm not a demon!
Then prove it! Huh? Kiss me!
Please, Tanya, stop it!
Why? Are you scared?
You're trying to kill me!
Only if you're a demon!
Tanya moves in again, but Holly manages to hold her at bay.
A gloppy!
Come on, kiss! I still respect you in the morning. Come on!
Just before their lips touch, Holly pushes her away.
Shut up! I just don't want to kiss you!
Yeah? Because you're an effing demon!
Oh! Yeah. Huh? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Holly grabs the bin bag Tanya packed for her and runs towards the door.
I'm a demon.
Before exiting, she stops and grabs the gift Nigel has left for her from the table and holds it close to her heart.
Nigel gave this to me. You don't even appreciate having a father. You have no idea what it's like growing up without one.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, and about Ian, when you saw us at Starbucks, we were talking about you. You, your favorite subject. He's crazy about you, but all you do is push him away. Well, good news, Tanya. You don't have to anymore because he's done. And so am I. I really liked you, Tanya. I've looked up to you since the first time I saw you on screen.
I'm sure.
That's why your favorite movie is all about Eve. You've got your eye on my Scream Queen crown, and you'll stop at nothing to get it.
Oh, wow! Wowee! You are such a mess. You push away everything that's good in your life because you're so scared. And yes, that's right. I'm psychoanalyzing you, not psychoanthologizing you, which would mean I was writing a collection of psychology stories, which you would probably love. But even if you begged me, I wouldn't. So, fine. Fine! You don't want me around? I'm out. You're on your own. Alone. Again. Naturally. Just see how well you do against the real demons without me around.
Goodbye. I did great by myself.
You know what? You know what? You're really yucky.
No. No. I'm not. I'm not yucky.
Oh, and Tanya, I would think about mowing that pudendum if you ever plan on hooking up with Ian. Just saying.
What? Pudendum? Seriously? Pudendum?
Pudendum. A person's external genitals, especially a woman's.
Who cares? I'll have you know that the Full Bush is making a comeback!
Holly enters her darkened flat, carrying the bin bag. Fumbling for the light switch, the bag breaks, and the contents spill out everywhere. Holly takes a step and slips, landing in a puddle of shampoo.
Idiot!
At Tanya's flat,
idiot!
She notices an all-too-familiar sight on the coffee table, Holly's cell phone. She picks it up. She hits a button revealing the wallpaper image, a production still of Tanya and Holly from the opening battle scene.
Oh, God.
Holly beams. Tanya forces a smile.
Ugh.
At Holly's flat, she picks up her demon-hunting costume tenderly. Mm. She folds it carefully and puts it in a drawer. She pulls out a box from under her bed and takes out a photograph of a woman. On the back is a handwritten note.
Time is too slow for those who wait.
Too swift for those who fear. Too long for those who grieve. Too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is eternity. Love, Mom.
Meanwhile, Tanya is on her computer.
Okay. Fighting demons with magic. Magic the Gathering. Gathering what? Oh, never mind. Brazilian wax.
Christ. Oh, God.
Oh. Oh. Oh, no. Yeah, no. No, no. Uh-uh. Not for me.
And back at Holly's flat, Holly, with great reverence, removes a blouse from the box. It is the same one her mother wears in the photograph. She removes a nearly empty bottle of perfume and sprays a drop on her wrist. She smells it, then lies down on the bed, holding the blouse. At the same time, we find Tanya, still at her computer, deeply immersed in her demonology research.
Okay, fine. Magic. Magic Mike, Magic Mountain. Magic Eye? Oh shit, I remember these!
Tanya clicks on a colorful, rather nondescript pattern, which instantly fills the screen. She leans forward, pressing her nose against the middle of the pattern, and then slowly backs up until the blur becomes a 3D image.
Huh. Three dolphins? That's cool.
Apparently forgetting about the task at hand, she excitedly clicks on another image. Again, she presses her nose against another pattern and slowly backs up.
A heart of roses? That's bullshit.
She clicks on another image and once again presses her nose against the pattern and slowly backs up. This time, a photorealistic animated image explodes onto the screen. Typhon, the armored skin man, throws the body of a human over his shoulder.
Nigel?
Typhon winks at Tanya. She sits petrified in her seat. Her gaze darts to another image in the vision. Echidna, a sultry temptress once again. This time she wears an absolutely smashing long chiton that drapes every one of her beautiful curves. Lucky cloth. Typhon holds Nigel up, dangling him over Echidna's gaping maw. She licks drops of blood off herself with her long, forked tongue. Behind the connubial monsters is the Hollywood sign.
Come and get it, baby!
Tanya's computer monitor erupts with sparks and goes dark.
Shit! Okay. Oh, shit. No, where's my keys?
Meanwhile, Holly picks up the gift from Nigel and reads the card. Darling Holly, my kindred spirit, being is not being this or that, here or there, then or now, but just timeless being. Journey on, Nigel. Oh, such brilliance. She unwraps the gift, a tattered, well-read copy of I Am That by Sri Nisar Datta Maharaj. An utterly brilliant book and absolutely required reading for developed souls, as far as I am concerned. Well, that's no surprise. Holly has launched into the book straight away, but then pauses to remove something wedged deep between two pages.
What's this?
It is a rather old wallet-sized photograph of a young woman. The very same woman in the other photograph, Holly's mother. The woman is holding an infant in her arms. Holly turns over the picture to find handwritten.
Holly, 6 months. Dear Nige, we had a girl. Forever your sausage.
Dear me. Well, yes. That was rather clumsy of Nigel, wouldn't you say? Holly is obviously stunned, and yet 1,000 thoughts race through her mind. She looks back at the picture, and then...
I have a sister? Son of a bitch!
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Meanwhile, Tanya drives furiously. An email notification appears on her cell phone.
It's Holly. I need to talk. Can't call you because I can't find my... Idiot! Ian? Jesus.
Hello?
Ian. Yeah. No, I just saw that you called but didn't leave a message, so I just wanted to make sure it wasn't anything important, you know.
No, I didn't call. Must have been a pocket dial. Sorry to disturb you then. Cheers.
Wait, Ian. Okay. Bye.
Back at Holly's flat. Yes, my other sausage. Life is complicated, isn't it? Well, Holly has retired to bed, but alas, she lies awake, unable to stop Tanya's voice from ringing through her head.
I think you're evil. Evil!
Holly buries her head under the pillow, desperately trying to block out the voice, but it grows louder and louder until it is almost unbearable.
Who is the H? Tanya! Thank God! Oh, shit!
It's Shig. Seriously, how hard is it to remember?
Whatever, what are you doing here?
Tanya's in trouble. We have to go. Now. I know where to find her.
Good night.
Wait, dude, listen. I had a vision. I was laying on my bed, totally in the zone, you know, solo. And then out of nowhere, Tanya Thompson appears. Crystal clear, a 4K 3D vision. That was seriously mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's not a vision, that's a fantasy. Go home, please.
No. Dude, Word Zone, the game, I was playing, and on its own, the board spells out Tanya, followed by Nigel, then death. I'm totally freaking out. I'm not even touching the trackpad. The board explodes, and the screen goes blood red. Dude, seriously, Ben, your name, H-O-L-L-Y, fills the screen. And I'm like, what? Holly, what? And it was like, my brain just kept getting a timeout error and couldn't get into my knowledge base, you know? And then finally, bam, four more letters. W-O-O-D. It wasn't Holly, what? It was Holly Wood. And that's when I saw it. It was clear as night. The Hollywood sign. That's where Tanya is. And that's where we have to go now.
You really should lay off the bleach for a while.
Please don't make me prove I'm psychic. Okay, you're embarrassed by your ski jump pinky toenails that grow up, not out, and are so small that when you get a pedicure, they have to skip those two toes.
What? Not always.
And you're a demon hunter. Let's go.
Meanwhile, Tanya is running up Mount Lee faster than she's ever run in her life. She sprints across Mulholland Fire Road at breakneck speed towards the Hollywood sign. She bursts out at the base of the sign and sees Echidna, 40 feet above her, sitting on the letter H, holding a 9-foot spear. Typhon pokes his head out from behind the base of the H.
Peek-a-boo! I see one of you.
Where's Nigel?
Typhon pulls the courageous fellow out from behind the H.
Oi, darling, you don't need to worry about your old dad.
Oh, dear me. Perhaps I'm slightly overtaken by the current circumstances. Strange as they are, but I do believe Tanya's face softened at the word dad.
My mate here has explained everything. Demon hunting, Soss. Bravo, bloody good timing. A career to fall back on before being kicked to the proverbial curb. God, yes. I've seen it happen before. Excruciating to watch. Echidna jumps down from the H to land next to Typhon. She licks Nigel's arm. Oh, well, hello, sausage.
Delish. After you, my love.
Typhon's jaws open wide, larger than his head. He picks up Nigel and stuffs him down his throat. Feet first.
Daddy!
Shouting with rage, Tanya runs at Typhon to rescue her. Daddy. Enormous red eagle wings erupt from Typhon's trench coat. Typhon beats his wings and launches himself into the air above Tanya. She can see Nigel's head still visible in the monster's jaws. Never mind, my love. As the fine luminary Douglas Adams would say, I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I have ended up where I needed to be. And always remember this, darling. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Commonly attributed to Dr. Seuss, though some argue its origin is a poem by Ludwig Jakubowski.
Hey, don't talk with my mouth full.
And then the dulcet tones of Nigel's voice fade out as his head follows his body down Typhon's throat.
No.
Typhon returns to the letter H and settles back against his wings.
Ah! Oh, yeah. Not bad. I don't understand why English food gets such a bad rap. Well, she's all yours, baby.
Over my dead body.
Oh, that won't be necessary, dear. I prefer my meals alive.
Echidna pounces on Tanya. The two fiercely battle from letter to letter across the Hollywood sign. Tanya desperately fights back, having to contend not only with Echidna's spear, but also with her tail, clawed fingers, and long forked tongue, which at this very moment strikes out at Tanya and rips her blouse.
God damn it!
Oh! Oh, shit! That's fucking hot! Those babies are perfect! Must have cost you a fortune!
Oh, Christ. Echidna gets in a strike that causes Tanya to fall from the sign. She bounces off girders and lands painfully onto the ground. She attempts to get back on her feet, but collapses back to her knees. Echidna looms above her. Her tail wraps around Tanya and holds her immobile. Tanya is filled with fear as she peers up at Echidna's slavering jaws and teeth.
You look like a mouthgasm.
As the ogress prepares to ingurgitate my precious sausage, Tanya unleashes the most ear-piercing Scream Queen scream. But alas, it does bugger all. Echidna simply smirks.
Aww.
Her face appears animalistic. Tanya screams again, but the gluttonous beast ignores her howl and goes in for a bite, but stops just before making contact when a second scream is heard. The two magnificent screams harmonize so exquisitely. They create what I can only describe as a supernatural, otherworldly sound. An extremely potent detonation rendering both Echidna and Typhon paralyzed. Then from behind the letter D, the source of the second scream appears, Holly. As the reunited demon hunter's shared scream ends, the coils of Echidna's tail fall open and release Tanya. Holly leaps on top of the collapsing ogress and kisses her until she shrivels into a small, unexceptional mound of rubble.
No longer paralyzed, Typhon swoops down and scoops up the last vestiges of Echidna. He holds them close.
Aww, you stupid bitch. You were so hot. Now look at you. God damn it.
The eagle-winged demon bungs the remains and flies off.
Are you okay?
Jesus, Holly, you screamed. I thought you couldn't scream.
Me too. When I saw you in trouble, it just came out. That really hurts.
Yeah, it does. We'll work on it.
Holly abruptly kisses Tanya directly on the mouth.
What are you doing? Get off of me.
I kissed you, and I'm still here. I'm not a demon.
Oh, yeah, okay. But you're still annoying, all right?
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
How'd you know I was here?
Shig! The freaky kid. He had a vision that you were in trouble. And Nigel, too. We gotta find him. We need to find him. What? No. No, Tanya.
Yeah. Look, I know this is gonna sound weird, but even though I lost Nigel, I found my dad, you know?
Me too.
What? What are you talking about?
You know that gift Nigel left for me? Well, it was a book called I Am That.
Yep.
Yes!
He gave a copy to every friend he collected.
Oh, well, this one was old and pretty beaten up and... Well, anyway, when I opened it, there was a picture of my mother.
What?
Pulsing with rage, Typhon swoops down at the girls.
And you found out your sisters from the same mister. Today's happy reunion has been brought to you by the letters D-E-M-O-N and the numbers 666. You two are the sole living progeny of the most powerful demon hunters to ever walk the earth. I know, it's hard to believe. You probably haven't reached your full potential. Too bad. You never will.
Well, I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Oh, God.
We're at our most powerful when we're together. There's two of us and one of you. Bring it on, demon!
Oh, my God. Stop.
That's hilarious! Okay, I got one for you. Okay, ready? Two bimbo demon hunters walk into a bar, and I kill them.
Typhon throws off his gloves, revealing hands covered with salivating jaws instead of fingers. 10 mouths roaring and drooling to devour Tanya and Holly. The Slay sisters have faced no more formidable opponent than this vengeful demon, and so... The climactic battle begins. The action descends the hill through the forest and trails not yet blazed.
You think your warriors for good? Do you really know what's good? Is it your almighty God of mercy, love, and goodness, ruler of the universe, creator of all things? The very same God who said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil.
Oh, my God, all I'm hearing is blah, blah, blah.
Holly manages to get a couple of good strikes in at Typhon as he continues to pedantically expound on his point of view, as evil villains tend to do on such occasions.
Okay, I'll dumb it down for you. There is no angel of good. When you destroy Tartaros, you set me free. Not to mention my extremely large... and restless entourage. So, sorry, not sorry, But you're working for the bad guys, ladies!
Typhon knocks Tanya to the ground and presses his scaly flesh against hers. Tanya's sight goes black. But in her mind's eye, she sees hordes of rampaging demons of all shapes and sizes, giant snakes slithering through the streets, gremlins scurrying over vehicles, dragons emitting explosions of flame, skeletons, wolves, monsters, and aliens overwhelming every human in their path. Shaken by the vision, Tanya manages to scramble back to her feet and away from Typhon.
Come on! He's telling the truth! If we die, the entire city will be massacred by monsters!
Son of a bitch!
That's just to start!
Tanya and Polly jump onto a century-old merry-go-round, where they attempt to navigate their way in between large wooden horses in various stages of decay. Typhon, wildly re-energized and invigorated, is close behind. He wrenches out one of the leaping horses and wields it as a weapon. Tanya and Holly grab their own makeshift armor, a metal spike and a wooden beam, and desperately fight back. But alas, Typhon, in his mad frenzy, backs the sisters up into the center of the ride against the panels that house the motor. Leaps up and yanks down the canopy, trapping them within the darkened carousel.
I can't see an effing thing. Where'd he go?
I don't know. Tanya, do you remember Scary Go Round?
The one where I stabbed the bad guy with the horse at the end?
Yes. Well, remember the alternate ending that was on the DVD extras?
You watch the extras? Who does that?
I do, and you're welcome. We can do that.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy? If it was in the extras, it's because it sucked.
Well, I think it'll work.
At that moment, Typhon tears through the canopy. Holly opens a panel in the center of the merry-go-round.
Let's go.
Holly and Tanya scoot in and slam the panel shut behind them. The carousel trembles as Typhon tries to break through.
Now what? Do you even know what you're doing?
I think so.
You think so?
Unless you have a suggestion.
Exactly. Now follow my lead. Excuse me? You find out we're sisters and you think you can order me around? No one orders me around. Got it? Not family, no one.
A horse's head crashes through the panel.
Unless that happens.
Okay. I mean, there is a slight chance we might not survive.
Yeah, well, not like we got a lot of options. Die killing him, or die being killed by him. At least we'll do it together, sister.
Copy that, sister. Let's ride.
Holly leaps into the middle of a circle of large batteries and holds her metal spike against the contacts. Tanya follows suit and raises her wooden beam high above the metal spike. They look at each other. Holly holds up one finger. Only the beating of their hearts can be heard in the resounding silence as my brave daughters wait for the right cue.
Come on! What are we doing here? How long do you expect me to hold this?
The panel crashes open and Typhon bursts in on them.
No!
Wasting no time, Tanya brings the wooden beam down, driving the metal spike into the circular battery pack. A massive electrical explosion radiates, ripping Typhon to bits, blowing merry-go-round horses in all different directions. Oh, bravo! Well done indeed. But wait. Oh, bloody hell. No. No. I can see no evidence of my darling Sprogs. Oh. Oh.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Death is my son-in-law. Death is my heir. Oh, wretched state. Oh, bosom black as death. But to weep is to make less the depth of grief. And whether we shall meet again, I know not. Therefore, our everlasting farewell take. Forever and forever, farewell. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile. If not, why then this parting was well made. Good night, ladies. Good night, sweet ladies. Good night. Good night. Or not.
Hey, thanks for listening to I Love Lucifer, the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, subscribe, and share with others who might fall in love with I Love Lucifer, too.